Let us pray. Holy Spirit, fall upon us now in this moment and lift us up through Christ to the Father. And now may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord God, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Walt Disney's classic movie, Old Yeller, tells the story of a stray dog who makes his way onto a small Texas ranch and ends up staying with a mother and her two sons. Travis, the oldest boy, isn't quite sure what to make of this yellow creature that barks constantly and steals meat occasionally from the smokehouse. But the seven-year-old, Arliss, well, he loves the mutt. Oh, he's a purty yeller dog. And it isn't long before Old Yeller actually wins over Travis as well. When a black bear charges the less than thinking seven-year-old Arliss playing with its cub, it is Old Yeller who throws himself in front of the wild animal, and later Travis tests Old Yeller, hanging a piece of meat just off the floor to see if he will obey. Don't eat it! And the dog refuses to touch the tempting morsel. And finally, this loving mutt snuggles up between the two boys in bed. Travis smiles and Arliss strokes that craggy old black snout. But then the unthinkable. After saving Travis himself from the tusks of wild boars, Old Yeller fends off, once again, another attack. This time, a rabid wolf. The wolf's cruel, infected teeth tear Old Yeller's flesh. And worried that their loving canine may have contracted rabies, Mother shuts up Old Yeller in the corn crib. And sure enough, within a day, every time Travis goes by the corn crib, a low growl sounds from the dog's throat. His tongue flicks his dark nose, and with every snarl, the dog's pinned ears flap. White froth trickles down behind the jaw. Little Arliss sneaks out to the corn crib. "Don't you worry, boy, I'm going to get you out of here." Wild snarls, liquid barks. Arliss unhooks the latch, a howl, curled lips, and Mother reaches the corn crib just in time to slam the door as the feral animal springs. And the film's music turns somber. Our hearts swell into our throats. We shudder. Old Yeller has gone from being a loving family defender, a purty yeller dog, to a dangerous feral animal, a beast that Travis must put down. I think at one point in our Old Testament reading this morning, we may have heard some of that somber music for a moment. Our hearts may have swelled into our throats at the sound of one snarling, frothing word. Angry. Oh Lord, you were angry. Twice in the first verse of our Old Testament reading, God's wrath comes up. You will say in that day, I will give thanks to you, O Lord, for though you were angry with me, your anger turned away, and you did comfort me. Angry. The Lord was angry with Israel. And we shudder. That word conjures up pictures of wild snarls, liquid barks, barred teeth, and white froth behind the jaw. And yet, God's anger shows up time and again in Scripture. In fact, a few chapters before our Old Testament reading, the prophet Isaiah laments three times that after all this judgment on Israel, God's anger is not spent and his arm is still outstretched. And Scripture, of course, is not the only place that we meet this reality. Every week in our prayer of general confession, right before Holy Communion, we acknowledge that our sins provoke most justly God's wrath and indignation against us. Now, if we're honest with ourselves, the idea of an angry God makes us squirm. Even if we pride ourselves on being traditional Christians, we deal with the hard things of Scripture. Even if we talk like that, we're not quite sure what to do with the idea. Because after all, Scripture tells us that God is love. And then we run across passages like this. You were angry. And it seems like God has gone from being the loving family defender to a dangerous feral beast. He's gone from being that purdy yeller dog, snuggles up beside us in bed, to a feral rabid animal with barred teeth, frothing saliva behind the jaw. God is angry. And it's like he's caught rabies. He growls, he snaps at us, he's dangerous. We take aim with paws, hunting rifle. We're just going to have to put the old dog down. But the Holy Spirit shows us this morning that this is all wrong. The triune God is not a sentimental old mutt from a Disney film, an animal trained for our comfort, protection, and good pleasure that may occasionally go feral if he contracts the wrong disease. No. We are the ones infected with the rabies of sin and death. And it is God who attacks our sin, our death. He is the one who pulls the trigger. Pulls the trigger as we bark and growl and snarl in the corn crib. He slays us. And this is his wrath. This is his anger. This is his white hot fury against the rabies infection that turns us from beautiful, majestic, holy, and loving creatures. Old yellers who throw ourselves in front of the bear on behalf of another into crazed, dangerous animals. Isaiah chronicles our feral reality. In the chapters leading up to our text, the prophet describes how Israel and all of us snarl in the corn crib with proud, arrogant lives. Lives that infect other people with sin's madness. Don't talk to your mother that way. But Daddy, that's how you talk to Mama. Lives that spring towards mothers and their children. Ah, let's not help her. She got pregnant out of wedlock. She's got to take responsibility. Lives that rip apart husband and wife, parents and children. Sick of you. I hate you. Go away. And the triune God will have none of it. Because this is his anger. This is his wrath. And this is how the words of our collect describe it. God cleanses us. In our lives, we often become rabid, feral, self-centered, prone to death and corruption. And so he pulls the trigger. He slays us in baptism's corn crib again and again. He slays us, though, to save us. He kills us to resurrect us. He swings open the wooden door of the corn crib. He stands beside our funeral pyre. And we, like the son of the widow of Nain, we hear that strange, wild voice, that wrathful, loving voice from beyond the grave. Young man, young woman, I say unto thee, arise. and our glazed eyes spark to life. Jesus, the Son of the Father, looks down on us. And by the power of His Spirit, He lifts us and places us in Mother Church's arms. Once again, a weak, whimpering mutt that will need tender care. You see, it's only then that we see that God's wrath and God's love are not opposed separate things. You see, God doesn't have a happy side or a happy part and an angry part or angry side. He doesn't swing back and forth like a pendulum between the two things. He is simply one. I am who I am. One reality of a holy, beautiful, living love. A love that kills and a love that resurrects. A love that destroys death itself. And so it is then that Isaiah's words become our own words. I will give thanks to thee, O Lord, for though thou wast angry with me, thy anger turned away. And you did comfort me. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and will not be afraid. For the Lord God is my strength and my song. And He has become my salvation. Give thanks to the Lord. Call upon His name. Make known His deeds among the nations. Proclaim that His name is exalted. Sing praises to the Lord, for He has done gloriously. Let this be known in all the earth. Shout and sing for joy, O inhabitant of Zion, for great in your midst is the Holy One of Israel. Sisters and brothers, God is pure love. And that pure love would make us new again, would resurrect us from death to life. And that is good news. That is gospel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.